out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, the 14th of January, 2019, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, we've got some predictable, yet still shocking news stories today. They're quite entertaining, really, the stupidity of leftists and the stupidity, on average, of Negroes. When they combine together, you just have to laugh at them, really. And the first news story concerns Nobel Prize winning scientist DNA pioneer James Watson, who has had his honours stripped from him for claiming that black people have a lower IQ than white people. Now, this is something that is so obvious to anybody who actually knows any blacks. But beyond it actually being obvious, you just have to type into Google average IQs or world IQs and you get a map. And it shows you that what this scientist has said is entirely accurate and entirely true. And yet leftists insist that it isn't. Despite all the evidence which is there, they still insist that Negroes don't have a low average IQ. It's just unbelievable. Cold Spring Harbor Laboratory called his comments unsubstantiated and reckless and said it was revoking the titles 12 years after the geneticist lost his job at the New York-based institution. In 2007, Dr. Watson shocked the scientific world when he told the Times newspaper that he was inherently gloomy about the prospect of Africa, as all our social policies are based on the fact that their intelligence is the same as ours, when all the testing says, not really. And while the geneticist said he hoped everyone was equal, he added people who have to deal with black employees find that this is not true. How can this have shocked the scientific world when all the scientific evidence says that what he says is true? Dr. Watson was awarded the Nobel Prize in 1962, sharing it with Morris Wilkins and Francis Crick for their discovery of the DNA's double helix structure. He later issued a written apology and retraction and was forced to retire from the lab which he headed. Even though this guy has told the truth, he was forced to issue a written apology and a retraction. In a documentary about his career, American Masters, Decoding Watson, which aired earlier this month, the molecular biologist said his views on intelligence and race had not changed. The laboratory released a statement on Friday saying that it was stripping the 90-year-old of his three honorary titles, Chancellor Emeritus, Honorary Trustee, and Oliver R. Grace Professor Emeritus. Cold Spring Harbor Laboratory called his remarks reprehensible, unsupported by science, and in no way represent the views of CSHL or its wider community. And this is just incredible, because they're just blatantly lying, saying that it's not supported by science. And you don't have to be a scientist to find this information either. If you go on assessmentpsychology.com, they give you the IQ levels. 70 to 79 is borderline retarded, and 69 and below is mentally retarded. And then they have two stars there to tell us that they've actually changed the mentally retarded status for extremely low. And they say the term extremely low is used in place of the terms mentally retarded, used in the WAISR and intellectually deficient used in the WISC-3 to avoid the implication that a very low IQ score is sufficient evidence by itself for the classification of mental retardation or intellectually deficient. Now, the reason why they've done that is because, quite clearly, Negroes with a low IQ are able to function, and white people with a low IQ like that aren't able to function. And this is because Negroes were created that way. That's why they're able to function with this low IQ, and white people aren't. And this is why it's not politically correct to call Negroes mentally retarded, even though their IQ, average IQ, is mentally retarded by these standards. Let's have a look at the actual average IQs of the world, and you'll find that all the bottom 20 are all African. And the highest one in Africa is 71. Now, don't forget, 70 to 79 is borderline retarded. And below 70 is mentally retarded. Tanzania, 71. Ivory Coast, 71. South Africa, 70. Sudan, 70. Nigeria, 70. Ghana, 69. So officially mentally retarded. Namibia, 69. Mozambique, 65. Mali, 64. Democratic Republic of the Congo, 63. Eritrea, 63. Guinea-Bissau, 62. Ethiopia, 61. Senegal, 60. Gambia, 60. East Timor, 60. Gabon, 60. Sao Tome and Principe, 58. Equatorial Guinea, 56. 56. That's half what the average IQ of a white man is. And they still try to say that we are all the same. And this scientist who's been awarded the Nobel Prize for his DNA discoveries, this is reprehensible remarks of his that aren't backed up by science. It's just blatant lies. And I don't understand how the left can justify this when all the figures, not just the ones that can only be seen by the scientists, but all the figures back up everything that he says. And this site that actually shows all of this, it tries to say that the reason why they have a low IQ is because they don't have very much money. Because the average income of all the people with the lowest IQs is also the lowest average income in the world. Newsflash, they don't have a low IQ because they don't have very much money. The reason they don't have very much money is because they have a low IQ. The best predictor of succeeding in life and earning money is to have a high IQ. This is why Africa doesn't get anywhere. This is why the average IQ in white countries is going down every year, is because we're importing these people that are not even capable of looking after themselves, let alone contributing to our economy. And just even in countries like South Africa, where they were given, handed on a plate, a white civilization, they've managed to run that into the ground. And just have a listen to this next news story that I've got that comes from South Africa. And this comes from Sputnik. The health department in South Africa's KwaZulu-Natal province has decided to fill 100 new posts with only black doctors, according to the Times Live. Now, you would have to be mentally retarded to want to fill all your doctor's posts up with other mentally retarded people. If blacks weren't mentally retarded, they would be saying, we want those 100 new posts to be filled entirely with white doctors, so we know that they've got a high IQ. But they don't. They say, we want to just be treated by blacks. Now, I'm quite happy for that. I think blacks should just be treated by black doctors. I don't think they should have a right to be treated by a white doctor. I think white people should have a right to be treated by other white people. 70% of the doctors that are struck off in Britain have been struck, are foreign-born, that have been struck off for gross incompetence. The South African newspaper reported that department officials expanded its registrar program for 2019 from 314 to 414 without allowing any white doctors to be recruited. The alleged goal is to redress the apartheid-related historical racial imbalance in the country, where most high-ranking positions were routinely filled by white medics. Well, the reason why the high-ranking positions were routinely filled by them is because they were qualified for them. Because they were the most intelligent people, that they were the best at their jobs. And now they're employing people just simply because they're black. And we know what the universities are like over there and the corruption that's involved. And if they pay to go on a university course, they expect to pass, regardless of if they've done the studying for it. In an interview with Times Live, KwaZulu-Natal Health Department spokeswoman Nukumisa Mafunda called the redress a government imperative and the morally and socially right thing to do in South Africa, which she said remains an unequal society with limited opportunities for self-development for those who were historically oppressed. Nothing to do with their average IQ then, meaning that they're not capable of doing high-powered work. Oh, it's just because Whitey has been keeping them down. The white man just handed that whole civilization to them and they've just run it into the ground. This means 238 posts must be filled with black Africans to take the current 128 filled posts to the target of 366. This implies that the 100 new posts must go to Africans in terms of the targets, else if there are no suitable Africans, the posts must be re-advertised, Mafunda added. So if they don't have enough qualified black Africans, they'll just re-advertise it and take unqualified black Africans. As I said, yes, I'm quite happy for Negroes to be treated by other Negroes. That's the way things should be. This is obviously going to have an unintended effect on the health outcomes of these black patients. But they'll still be blaming the white man for that as well. Mary de Haas, a member of Medical Rights Advocacy Network, for her part, slammed the redress as discriminatory and unconstitutional, accusing the KwaZulu Natal Health Department of mismanaging department budgets. The blacks don't care if something is unconstitutional. That wasn't signed by them. That was signed by somebody else. And what does it matter if they've signed something? Why should they keep their word? That was said on a different day, in a different time. They didn't say it today, did they? That's the logic that Negroes have. I think it is a very bad way of doing it. It's not really fair to sideline people who have done extremely well. It, the health department, spent money sending students to Cuba instead of building local capacity, which would have sorted this out years ago, Haas claimed. So they obviously thought they'd be better off going to visit communist Cuba rather than actually educating people in Africa. Again, this is because they have this low average IQ. They will do things that just appear to be retarded by the white man's standards because they're not capable of thinking in the way that we do. She was echoed by South Africa's Democratic Alliance Party spokesman Imran Kika, who argued that a policy which causes the domination of one race over the other by exclusion is nothing more than an aberration of our constitutional values and is racist. Meanwhile, most Twitter users expressed frustration over the KwaZulu-Natal Health Department's decision, with some slamming it as rash and a white genocide. Now, this is interesting. This is because this comes from the Sputnik news site. The tweets that they've actually put up there are all pro-white, pretty much. I think there was one or two that were leftist, but at least there was a balance. If these tweets were to be seen in the Daily Express or to be seen in the Daily Mail, they either wouldn't have put them up there, or they would have been condemning them as being far right. So it's interesting that Sputnik actually has a balance here and shows left and right. Now, here are some of these tweets. Rob R says, "Ha ha, South Africa is trying to become Wakanda. Someone forgot to tell them that it's make-believe." Mike at NotABot617 said, "Going to have illiterate doctors diagnosing AIDS as the flu, and it will be glorious." And that will happen. And the other way around. Don't forget, this is a country that thinks that if you rape babies, then that will cure you of AIDS. Don Scott, at 73, said, there actually are white doctors who would want to live and work there. I don't think this was going to be a problem for black racist South Africa anyway. Grim Skunk says, soon South Africa will fit in with the rest of Africa then. Change is fine. I applaud it. But again, a rash decision that will backfire. Jan Mack said, you are calling this a race row? This is blatant discrimination and white genocide going on in South Africa. The government is cancerous with corruption. Hospitals are a disaster and the police departments are inept or corrupt. R4M said, so that means I cannot apply? How is this not racist? Oh wait, Africans cannot be racist. Only white people can be racist. Melanie Grand said, African racism, pure and simple. Racism, now it's apartheid on white people. Why isn't there any outrage like there was before? Hector de la Fuente says, let me understand, one should practice racism in order to eradicate racism? Sounds logical. Liquid Comforts says, reverse racism has been a problem over the past decade and must be stemmed by all governments. And Walter finally says, perfect definition of a failed state. So that seems to be the general response to this, but you won't see that response in the Daily Mail or the Daily Express, of course. They will just report this. They won't actually say that this is just blatant racism against white people. The developments come after a record number of white South African farmers had already put their land up for sale as the country's ruling African National Congress Party considers altering the country's constitution to allow the white farmers' land to be expropriated without compensation. Well, I think they've already actually done that. They're not just considering altering it. They already have altered it. In December 2018, the country's parliament approved the establishment of a committee which is due to hammer out a legal amendment to Section 25 of the Constitution and present it later this year. Apartheid, a system of institutionalized racial segregation, was in place in South Africa between 1948 and the early 1990s. The regime was based on the white supremacy political culture, which specifically stipulated the state-endorsed oppression of black Africans for the benefit of the country's minority white population. I don't think it did that at all. I think it just kept blacks separate from whites. The blacks had no right to be there in the first place. There was no blacks living there when South Africa was built. The white people built a civilization. They were kind enough to say to the Negroes, well, we will employ you if you want to come here. We'll employ you. And we'll even police your townships for you. We'll build townships for you. We'll build hospitals for you. We will build schools for you. The white man bent over backwards for the Negro. And when the Negroes were in the majority and outnumbered the white man, then the rest of the world got on their backs and forced South Africa to hand over the rule of the country to the Negroes. And this is what they've done with it. They've ruined it. They've ruined the whole country. And now they're going to start replacing white doctors with black doctors. They already have replaced white doctors with black doctors. As I say, there couldn't be any better proof of the mental retardation of Negroes than to do something like that. Would you, if you're a white man that's listening, would you rather be treated by a black doctor or a white doctor? If you were another race, would you rather be treated by someone with an average IQ of 70 or someone with an average IQ of 105. It's just common sense, isn't it? Well, Negroes don't have common sense. Well, I've got one more news story for us today, and this one is a real white pill, I think. It's always good to have some good news to start the week with. Liberals furious. Johns Hopkins chief psychiatrist says transgender is a mental disorder. Again, somebody that's just speaking the obvious, verifiable truth that everybody can see for themselves, but that the leftist media and the crazy progressive liberals seem to deny. It really is like God has sent them a strong delusion. And it says in the Bible that if you don't have a sufficient love for the truth, you will be sent a delusion. And as far as I can see it, that's exactly what's going on. We've got people that think that it's okay to lie about the truth and pretend that blacks don't have a low average IQ. And the reward for doing that is that they will believe things like transgenderism isn't a mental disorder and that there can be more than two genders. And they'll believe these crazy ideas because they took a step towards respecting lies where they should be respecting the truth. A prominent psychiatrist at Johns Hopkins Hospital, Dr. Paul R. McHugh, claims that transgender individuals suffer from a form of mental illness and that gender reassignment is biologically impossible. Well, it is biologically impossible. You can't change somebody's chromosomes. Either you have XX chromosomes, if you're female, or you have XY chromosomes, if you're male. And that can't be changed. It's right there in the tiniest part of your DNA is determined by your gender. At best, all these people can do is make cosmetic changes. They can't actually change gender. And the rest of us are being forced to pretend that they actually have. We're being forced to say that black is white, white is black, and that 2 and 2 equals 5. Just like Winston Smith in George Orwell's novel, 1984, only it's not just Winston Smith, it's everybody in the West is being expected to go along with this craziness. So it's great that Dr. McHugh has got the courage to speak up about this, and we need to be supporting him. On the heels of the American College of Pediatrics reaching the decision that transgenderism of children is child abuse, and this is the American College of Pediatrics, that's the study of medical problems with children, they've reached the decision that transgenderism of children is child abuse. People are melting down everywhere. To be clear, people should be treated very seriously when attempting to rectify their feelings with surgery or dangerous hormone treatments, because they do need help, and fast, and I don't think anybody would disagree with that. Can people reasonably disagree about a cure? Can people also agree that children should not be making these choices? Now, if you're an adult and you want to mess around with hormones and make cosmetic changes, that's one thing. But an innocent child that can't actually give their consent to be doing something like this, to be forcing that on them, that is child abuse. Dr. McHugh also states that people who endorse gender reassignment are in fact supporting a mental disorder. According to CNS News, Dr. Paul R. McHugh, the former psychiatrist in chief for Johns Hopkins Hospital and its current Distinguished Service Professor of Psychiatry, said that transgenderism is a mental disorder that merits treatment, that sex change is biologically impossible, and that people who promote sexual reassignment surgery are collaborating with and promoting a mental disorder. Dr. McHugh, the author of 6 books, and at least 125 peer-reviewed medical articles, made his remarks in a recent commentary in the Wall Street Journal, where he explained that transgender surgery is not the solution for people who suffer a disorder of assumption, the notion that their maleness or femaleness is different than what nature assigned to them biologically. He also reported on a new study showing that the suicide rate among transgendered people who had reassignment surgery is 20 times higher than the suicide rate among non-transgender people. So these parents that are giving these drugs to their children, they're 20 times increasing the chances of their children committing suicide by doing so. Dr. McHugh further notes studies from Vanderbilt University and London's Portman Clinic of Children who had expressed transgender feelings, but for whom over time 70 to 80% spontaneously lost those feelings. So 80% of these kids turned out to just be normal in the end. And yet instead of respecting that, you've got these crazy liberal parents that are giving these hormones to their kids. And it's horrific. This is child abuse. These children should be taken away from their parents. I never thought that I'd ever say that, that children should be taken away from their parents, because your family is really the only thing that you really, really, truly is yours, is your family. But if they're doing something like this to them, which is going to physically affect them for the rest of their lives and physically change their bodies and turn them into a monster, basically, something's got to be done about this. Dr. McHugh concludes his piece claiming that those who support gender reassignments are supporting a mental disorder. At the heart of the problem is confusion over the nature of the transgendered. Sex change is biologically impossible. People who undergo sex reassignment surgery do not change from men to women, or vice versa. Rather, they become feminized men or masculinized women. Claiming that this is a civil rights matter and encouraging surgical intervention is in reality to collaborate with and promote a mental disorder. And that's exactly what it is. It's just, it's cosmetic changes. That you're taking these hormones is just going one step further than wearing makeup. It doesn't change their gender. You only have to look at these creatures to see that they don't look anything like the opposite gender. There are things such as chin shape, the shape of your hands, the proportions of the body. These things can't be changed by hormones. And when these people take these hormones and think that they finally look like a woman, and then they realize that they can't actually change the shape of their feet, they can't change the shape of their hands, they can't change the shape of their chin, they realize that in actual fact, they just look like some kind of hermaphroditic monster. That's why 20 times as many of them end up committing suicide, because there's nothing that can be done about it. The damage that's been done is irreversible in most cases. Sure to infuriate identity politics pushers even more, he believes that if you enter prison as a male, then you should have to wait until you get out to have gender reassignment. Now, again, now this is very interesting, because we have a lot of situations at the moment where we've got people in prison that are claiming to be the opposite gender, are then being put into women's prisons, and then they're assaulting the women in there. He says there are subgroups of the transgendered, and for none of them does reassignment seem apt. One group includes male prisoners like Private Bradley Manning, the convicted national security leaker who now wishes to be called Chelsea. Facing long sentences and the rigours of a men's prison, they have an obvious motive for wanting to change their sex and hence their prison. Given that they committed their crimes as males, then they should be punished as such. After serving their time, they can be free to reconsider their gender. Now that solves the problem, doesn't it? Whatever the gender was when they committed the crime, that's what they have to stay in until their prison sentence is up. As one might expect, some have reacted swiftly with claws fully extended. Think Progress described the American College of Pediatricians as a hate group masquerading as pediatricians. And the Huffington Post said, once again, Paul McHugh has used the ever more tarnished name of the John Hopkins to distort science and spread transphobic misinformation. How is that misinformation that 20 times as many of them end up killing themselves, and 80% of the children that claim to be transgender were actually found not to be within a couple of years? How is that? These are statistics that can be checked. It's not distorting them. The American College of Pediatricians issued a statement condemning gender reclassification in children by stating that transgenderism in children amounts to child abuse. And these are the people that should know about it, pediatricians, specialist child doctors. The stories have been rampant of parents treating their little boys as girls because they thought they identified that way. Can anyone with a clear mind think that this is good for a child? I can't think of a single case where this would actually be good for a child to be doing something like this. Even in cases where you've got somebody that's born and they're intersex, to make the decision then can be wrong. There was a Norwegian documentary a while back. I think it might have been called Brainwash, and it was looking at the politically correct system, and each program looked at a different part of it and showed you the problems that it was causing. And one of them was somebody that was born intersex, and the doctors made the choice to cut the guy's genitals off. And then when it came to puberty, he realized that he was male. And by that time, it was too late. And the reason was, I mean, he had the XY chromosomes. He was male, and yet they cut his genitals off because they and thought that they would dress the guy as a female, and it would be okay, and he would just be female at the end of it. I mean, an absolute horrific nightmare of a situation to be in. So I can't think of any instance where it would be good to do something like this for a child. So good on the American College of Pediatricians for having the courage to speak up on this and having the courage to support Professor McHugh and to support their doctor, who is forthright stating this to the Wall Street Journal. Anyway, thank you very much for listening today. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.